the Berkshires to the Sound. From wherever you live in MLB America, this is Inside the Parker. You give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the scoop on Major League Baseball. Now here's Baseball Hall of Fame voter number 83, Rob Parker.
Welcome into the podcast. My name is Rob Parker. I'm your host. We're going to do a very special Chicago edition of Inside the Parker. That's where I am. We're going to talk about those Chicago White Sox who are streaking, and we're going to talk about the future of the Chicago Cubs. Plus, I'll give you some insight to the shooting incident that happened at Nationals Park in Washington, D.C., where I was in attendance. That and much more. Let's go.
To lead off, it's getting robbed.
And keep him up.
Rob's hot take on the three biggest stories in Major League Baseball. Number one.
On Wednesday night, I was in Chicago at the White Sox-Twins game to get a first-hand look at those streaking Chicago White Sox who went into the game with a 58-37 record, red hot, 8-2 in their previous 10. Had a 9.5 game lead in the AL Central, the biggest lead in any division, and they have just been great. I mean, I was wrong. I thought Tony La Russa was the wrong guy for this young team, but boy, have they just hit the gas and been playing some really, really good baseball, including Tim Anderson. Tim Anderson had his 16-game hitting streak snapped on Tuesday night when he went 0-for-5 against the Twins. But what a season he has put together, batting .309, 9 home runs, 36 RBIs, 62 runs scored. And he has been that lightning rod for this franchise. He really is. He is a star. The Chicago White Sox, we remember last year, were disappointed when they lost to the Oakland A's in the playoffs. This is a different team. And they have staying power. They got pitching, hitting, everything that they do. I like this team a lot. It reminds me of the San Diego Padres in the National League. They have a lot of swag. They're hip. They're fun. And they've taken over Chicago. I got to admit this. People are into the White Sox.
Number two.
Next Friday is the trade deadline in Major League Baseball. That's right, Friday, July 30th. And one of the big names out there is Nelson Cruz, the Minnesota Twins DH. He's 41 years old. The Twins are out of it. They're 40-54 going into Wednesday night's game against the White Sox. They've had a lot of injuries. That was a really good team. They made the playoffs a year ago, but it's not happening. So obviously, they're going to unload some players as the deadline approaches. But Nelson Cruz is still raking. I mean, look at his numbers. .295 batting average, 19 home runs, 49 RBI. There's a great chance he's not going to be with the Twins. Somebody can use that bat. There are enough teams vying for the playoffs who can plug Nelson Cruz into their lineup and have this guy be productive for the second half of the season. So we won't see Nelson Cruz with the Twins come to the trade deadline.
Number three.
Los Angeles Dodger right fielder Mookie Betts just can't get a break. I mean, he's had a lot of injuries this year, hadn't been himself, but finally looked like he had turned the corner at the plate. He was scorching hot and had a four-game stretch where he had 12 hits and 16 at-bats, batting .750. And remember, Mookie didn't go to the All-Star game in Denver. He wanted to take the time off so that he could recoup and feel better. He came out of the All-Star break scorching hot with 7 hits in 9 at-bats, all against the Colorado Rockies. But then here we go again on 7/19. He was scratched from the starting lineup with some inflammation in his hip. And then Mookie Betts pinch hit in that game. The Dodgers were hoping it was a game that the Dodgers lost, and they were hoping that, you know, they could get an at bat out of him. But we'll have to wait and see. But what a season. The injuries have really curtailed Mookie Betts, especially once he's gotten on his hot streak. So that's disappointing. I know Dodger fans can't feel good at this point.
Here comes the big interview. Listen and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
What a horrifying scene at Nationals Park last Saturday night in Washington, D.C. And I just happened to be in the stands on vacation enjoying baseball, the Padres against the Nationals with some friends, when we heard shots ring out at the stadium. So I even had to jump into work, even though I was on vacation, and call into the Odd Couple on Fox Sports Radio, my radio show with Chris Broussard. And I talked to Chris Broussard and Ryan Hollins, who was filling in for me, and I told them about the scary situation I was involved in. Take a listen.
Hey, Rob, forgive my ignorance, but you're actually at the game with the shooting. And, you know, me from the outside goes, if they were shooting outside, I might want to stay where we were. But seriously, take us into that scene. We're glad you're okay. We're glad, to my understanding, no one was hurt or injured. But what was that like, man? Where were you, man?
So we were sitting on the first base side, like near right field. So we heard the shots. I was there with three of my buddies. And when we heard the pop, 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 pop with like six or seven shots, I turned to my friends and I'm like, dude, those were shots. So then we look up over where the shots came from, which was like the third base concourse. And then all of a sudden we see people running to the center field, you know, exit. And I'm like, look at those people. What's going on? Like they're running for their lives. So we see that. I look back down on the field. None of the players or the umpires or anybody's on the field or in the dugout. So we're like, man, something's happening. So we're looking around. Still, you just don't know what's going on. We know we heard shots, but we didn't know if it was inside or outside. So we decide, let's get out of the building. We get up, get on the concourse. We start heading towards the center field exit gate. And then all of a sudden, like a stampede of people start racing our way. Women screaming and carrying on. It was like, it was unbelievable. Like people just were like going berserk. It was chaos. So we see this and I say to myself, there's only one thing going on here, you know, that could be. And that means that there's either a shooter in the building or two and they're shooting people and they're coming our way. So we turn around and start running the other way, the way the people are running. And we push our way into a concessions like office where they're managing the people. There's some workers in there. We muscle our way in and jump into a storage closet. And I'm in there with 8 or 10 people. And we're talking about, should we put the file cabinet up against the door? Wow. Should the guys hold on to the door? Because we just don't know, you know, like after you find out it was a shooting outside, nobody inside got shot or whatever. But at that very moment, I have never been as scared in my life. I honestly thought there was a shooter in the building the way people responded. So it was one of those moments that wow. I'll never forget. It shook me. It really did. I really thought there was a shooter inside the stadium.
How? I mean, part of the danger as well in a situation like that is people getting stampeded, right? So right. What did you see?
There
were
some people got knocked over. There were people they didn't get stamped, you know, trampled over, but people did fall. You know, people are trying to get out of the way. We lost my best friend is Fred, and Fred got separated from us. So it was four of us. The three of us made it into, you know, the office and the closet. And then we look around and like, where's Fred? Oh, you know. And then I call Fred and find out that he got separated because of the crowd and couldn't get to where we were, but he was okay. And we connected with him, so he was all right. But it was definitely one of those moments that was like out of a horror movie, to be honest.
Wow.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. It's time for the Pocket Protector Centro. The analytic numbers you need to know. Well, maybe.
Anthony Masterson is his name. BS Analytics is his game. What do you got for me, Anthony?
Is it possible for the son of a Hall of Famer, mega hyped prospect, in the running to become the youngest player in MLB history to win the Triple Crown, All-Star Game MVP, somehow underrated? It seems we may have reached that point with one Vladimir Guerrero Jr. this season. As of Tuesday morning, he's a thousandth of a point behind Michael Brantley for the lead in batting average, though he has 70 more plate appearances than Brantley, three homers behind the headline-stealing Shohei Ohtani, and four RBI up on the aforementioned Shohei. And while RBI are hardly the best barometer of a player's talent in evaluation anymore, come on, man, it's still pretty cool. It's a Triple Crown. What's more impressive about Vladdy Jr. is he goes far beyond the traditional Triple Crown categories, however. He's tops in OPS, a tick under 1,100, even better than any of Mike Trout's best seasons, by the way. His OPS plus of 195, a stat that takes into account ballpark and league where league average is 100, and each number above or below is a percentage, meaning he's 95% better than league average this season, is only surpassed by guys like Giambi, Trout, Tomei, and Maguire in the AL in the last 25 years. And what's even more impressive is the fact that he's a complete power hitter at such a young age. In a full season, there's been only one other player, 22 or younger, to hit at least 325, have an OBP of at least 425, and have a slugging percentage over 650, all numbers Vladdy Jr. hits at this point. That player? Ted Williams in 1941, yes, the year he hit 406. Now, Shohei might steal all the ink, and rightfully so, but if he somehow falters in the second half, don't be shocked if Vladdy Jr. garners much more MVP consideration going forward.
Hey, what the heck? That ball is...
It was a big week in the big leagues.
Who's up? Who's up?
I don't believe it! My, oh my!
Is it foul or is it fair? And now, here's ShadowLeague.com MLB insider, J.R. Gamble.
All right, J.R., is it foul or fair to say that the Mets can tread water without their ace, Jacob DeGrom?
Fair.
It's a fair ball.
Even without Jacob DeGrom, who will be needed in the playoffs, the Mets can survive with Taijuan Walker and Marcus Stroman throwing lights out as they have all season. The Mets' offense is pretty inept outside of Pete Alonso, and adding a proven bat like Chris Bryant can only help them in the National League East. There is reportedly a bidding war between the Washington Nationals and Mets, but if I'm Bryant, I definitely want to come to a first-place team that desperately needs me to remain in first place. Washington hasn't been consistent all season long, and they seem to need a lot more than a solid bat. As far as the Mets go, a reliable all-star hitter added to the mix is all they really need. The pitching is solid, and Bryant's only 29 and can still rake. He hit 31 homers in 2019 and has 16 homers and 48 RBI, which would put him second on the Mets immediately. So, to trade for him is a no-brainer. Only problem is, the Cubs will be looking to fleece. The Mets are in a position of power right now and don't have to make a move. But if they do, they'll probably have to give up some top prospects, including MLB bro Khalil Lee. It seems like a perfect match for the Mets and Bryant, and he'd probably be revived playing in a new town. Get it done.
Turn money into more money.
Now it's time for Betting on the Bases with Dave Gascon.
Love that money.
Rob, what is up, man? It's been a long time. Let's get right into it. First things first, on Friday night, got the San Francisco Giants and the Pittsburgh Pirates. Pirates, one of the worst teams in all of Major League Baseball. The Giants, it looks like they're not going anywhere. National League West division is up for grabs. The Giants, the Dodgers, and of course, the San Diego Padres. I'm taking the home team, the Giants, in this one. Will Crow going for Pittsburgh. He's 1-5 this season with an ERA at 6.12. Speaking of the Dodgers, they have dominated the Colorado Rockies this season. David Price is on the bump Friday night. First pitch is at 10:10 Eastern. I'm taking the Dodgers in this one, hands down. The Dodgers should have their way this entire series as well against Colorado. And then on top of that, the Chicago Cubs, they get things underway a little bit earlier on Friday in the Windy City against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Zach Gallen going for them, 1-4 this season, ERA at 3.86. Zach Davies going for the home team in this one. Arizona's nearly 30 games under 500 on the season, so I'm pounding the Cubbies in that one as well.
Take out the paper, then the trash.
It's time for Trash Talk Twitter. Twitter. Your chance to trash anyone or anything in Major League Baseball.
This week's trash comes from at Robertino53. And he tweeted me this. I'm a Yankees fan. I trash Cashman. He has failed to produce a chip while the Red Sox have retooled thrice and won thrice. First to last, last to first, saddling the team with trottering stiffs, unathletic players. Stanton will be here making moolah until the second coming. If you want to be featured in on the Trash Talking, man, hit me up on my Twitter at RobParkerFS1.
When Rob was a newspaper columnist, he lived by this motto. If I'm writing, I'm ripping. Let's bring in a writer or broadcaster, old or new.
All right, now let's welcome into the podcast Russell Dorsey, a buddy of mine, a friend of mine, who is the Chicago Cubs beat writer for the Chicago Sun-Times. What's up, bro? How you?
Man, I am chilling. Good to hear from you. Good to see you. I'm... You know, it's always good to get a text from my guy, mentor. And now, man, it's good. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. And I can't wait to see you in St. Louis on Thursday.
Yes, sir.
So we can chop it up and eat and catch up, you know. But let's talk about those Cubs that you cover. And going into Wednesday night's game in St. Louis, they were tied with the Cardinals. Both have 47 and 48 records. Where are the Cubs? They're tied for third place, 8.5 games out. Is this team on the brink of collapsing, or do they have a little energy left that maybe they can make a run?
Well, I think this is that calm before the storm. Like, I think this is one of those seasons where everybody pretty much knows what's going to happen. They were in first place for a while, Rob. Like, they had a good team. If you look at that lineup on paper, you're like, all right, there's still some superstars in this lineup. But at the same time, you know, they had that 11-game losing streak, and that's really where that season, you know, went in the tank. And so with that deadline's coming up, it kind of worked out for President Jed Hoyer. You can look at it and say, all right, we can use this as a time to retool a little bit, retool on the fly, maybe have some money to spend in the offseason to turn things around over the next couple of years. But it feels like this is the end for this group is currently assembled.
And you talk about the trade deadline, which is next Friday, July 30th. And Jock Peterson was already traded, right? I mean, right. That was a sign, wasn't it, Russ, that the store is open for business?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think that was that warning shot to the rest of the league. Like, hey, Jed's phone is on and he's willing to make some calls. And so you look at it and say, all right, who's could be traded? So that trio of Baez, Brian, Rizzo, all those guys – are in their last year of their deal. So obviously those guys are all on the table. Now, I don't think Baez and Rizzo go anywhere, but Bryant, with what he's been able to do, bounce back season, his versatility, that's a guy that a lot of contenders would want to have on their roster. And Craig Kimbrel, who's come back to being the elite closer that he's proven to be, borderline Hall of Famer, he's done well. And after the bounce back he had in 2020 has really shown that he could be that elite guy again. So that's another guy that you'd say could bring back, you know, a decent bit of value for the Cubs as they look to retool this thing.
Russ, I just get the sense that Chris Bryant is the guy definitely that will be – is that your gut, just that he's valuable to some teams?
Yeah, if I had to put money on it, I'd say that Chris Bryant is probably the guy that gets moved. And I think there's been a misconception over the years that Chris Bryant didn't want to be a Cub because of who his agent is and all the – he's one of my favorite athletes, one of my favorite players to cover. You know, good guy, down to earth, maybe one of the most humble superstars you'll come across. But it just feels like that time has come. And good for Chris. If he can stay healthy and go somewhere, he's still going to be that force at the plate for a long time. He's only 29 years old. So, but yeah, it does feel like this is that time for Chris where he's going to get an opportunity to go play for a contender this year.
Our guest is Russ Dorsey. Of course, he covers the Chicago Cubs for the Chicago Sun-Times, his second year on the beat for the Sun-Times. And let's talk about Baez and Rizzo, who you both mentioned, who, of course, along with Brian, are all free agents, which is weird that all three of these guys are up. Franchises usually don't do that. You know, are they going to – what about Rizzo and Baez, the chances of them re-signing, or do they move on and they gut the whole thing? When they won the World Series a few years back, people thought this was going to be a dynasty with the young nucleus that they had. They got the one, and that's been it. So is there a chance that those two guys could be going as well?
Well, I think when we think about, we thought these guys are going to be together for 10-plus years. It didn't work out that way. They won their title, which, you know, that's always the goal. Like, if they got to this point and didn't win, that would be the bigger disappointment. But they have. And sometimes, you know, as many as you've been covering sports, not just baseball, like, you can't keep everybody, right? That's just the nature of the beast. So I think a lot of these guys, they got offered extensions. It wasn't to their liking. And that's fair. Them and their representation said, no, we're going to hold out. And those guys have held out. Do I still think there's a possibility those two guys sign extensions? Sure. It might be during the offseason. But I do think in some capacity, especially Rizzo, like, it's an older guy, core, Mr. Cub 2.0. Like, that's a guy that you think is going to retire a Cub. But you never know in this business. And if you know, Javi Baez has shown himself to be one of the most electric players in the game, that's a guy that you're going to want to keep around for a little while. So I think there's an opportunity at some point to re-sign those guys. It's just deciding what their number is and what the Cubs are willing to go to with them.
Last thing, Russ, I'm going to the White Sox Twins game on Wednesday night in Chicago. Who would have thought that the White Sox would have the live team that is running away with it and got some swag and, you know, are hip and fun? I mean, you wouldn't have been able to convince me of that a few years ago that it wouldn't be the Cubs in this position. How surprised are you of just that the Cubs are taking a backseat to the White Sox?
Well, I saw the way that the Sox built this thing, and they did it right. They got some buy-in from young guys that did, as we talked about, the Cubs did sign those extensions early, and those guys have turned into studs for them. So they got those guys locked up for a little while. T.A. signed an extension before he even took off, and he's become one of the best players in the game too. So they have a squad over there. They just locked up Lance Lynn, who's come in and been a really good piece of their rotation. So they did it the right way, and they're going to be a fun team for a long time.
No doubt. His name, Russ Dorsey, man. Check him out on Twitter. Check out his stuff. Covers the Chicago Cubs for the Chicago Sun-Times. One of my mentees who I'm very proud of. You know that, my man.
Yes, sir.
Keep doing your thing.
I appreciate you, brother.
Reason number 1,015 why Major League Baseball is better than the NBA and the NFL. On Tuesday night, after watching the NBA Finals, Game 6 wrapped up where the Milwaukee Bucks won the championship over the Phoenix Suns, I was with a bunch of Chicago sports writers and broadcasters, and guess what? We broke out in a debate about the Hall of Fame. What a shock. No, it wasn't a shock. Baseball's Hall of Fame was revered. Everybody poo-pooed the Basketball Hall of Fame. We didn't even really bring up the Pro Football Hall of Fame. The debate was all about the Baseball Hall of Fame. Names were being thrown out. Stats were being thrown out. Who deserves to be in? And that's the point, is that there's really only one Hall of Fame that people care about. And these weren't even just all baseball writers. These were sports writers and broadcasters who cover all the sports. And the biggest debate, the biggest pushback, the biggest noise were about baseball players and where they fit in as far as making it to the Hall of Fame. I only had one trump card over all those knuckleheads. I actually have a Hall of Fame vote, so I told them to pipe down.
in the words of New York TV legend, the late Bill Jorgensen, thanking you for your time this time until next time. Rob Parker, out.
He can't get it. This could be an inside to Parker.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.